You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It is a billboard that's hard to miss, and once you see it, it really is just difficult to forget. Something Wrong, Call and Fong. Displayed across California, Ann Fong has found a place among other famed personal injury attorneys who have harnessed the power of advertisements. But her notoriety may very well lead the pack with a reach beyond lawsuits and courtrooms. She has been profiled in publications across the state. She's also been on the receiving end of criticism, including a recent billboard design competition that initially received a little bit of backlash. Ann Fong joins us in the studio today to share the life experiences that shaped the direction of her career with a story that largely begins in Sacramento. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So let's just start from the beginning. Tell us about your Sacramento roots.
Oh, man. So I actually was born in San Jose, and then my parents moved us to Sacramento when I was about 9 or 10 years old, and have been in Sacramento ever since.
Yes.
So Sacramento is like home, you know?
Did you have lawyers in your family? What led you down this path?
No lawyers. I am the first lawyer, but at least now I'm not the only lawyer. My younger brother, who is 12 years younger, I convinced him to go to law school when I started my firm. And so he's a lawyer now, but no lawyers. Actually, I was the second in my entire family to have any kind of degree. Went to college. My sister went to college, and then it was me. We're immigrants. My parents came here in 1979. I was born in 1981. So that holds a lot to be the first in our generation, and definitely not the last.
Were there life experiences that you had when you were younger that kind of opened up your mind to wanting to pursue a career in law?
You know, yes, I've always loved watching Law and Order growing up, like all the cop shows, and I was actually interested in criminal justice and just the justice system. There was some things that had happened, but nothing drastically. There were things that I had noticed that were going on, just being of immigrant background. We were robbed. Burglarized. Our home was burglarized when I was, 12 or 13 years old. And I just remember my parents just feeling, we felt so helpless, but we also, as the victim, felt like we couldn't reach out for help. And it just, from that standpoint, I don't think I realized it then, but when I look back now and think about why there wasn't even an interest in criminal law or law at all, that's kind of where it rooted from. And I think just becoming from that background, we felt like we came to America, we've just, hush-hush, even though we were victims, we didn't feel like we'd speak up or that people would help us. And I think part of that was the wrong conception that my parents had, because we did receive a lot of help in other ways, too. So, but it was always just kind of that experience. That's the first time that I've had any, experience with that and the justice system in a way.
Yeah, when you finally decided, hey, this is what I want to do with my life professionally, was personal injury always the path you wanted to take?
No, it wasn't. So I started off at Sac State as a business major because I was just didn't know what I was doing when I was young. I didn't want to go to law school when I was at Sac State. So I took criminal justice course when I was almost done, finishing my minor for like marketing economics, one of those, and I was just not into it, and took criminal justice to fulfill a general education requirement. I was like, this is it. And then during the criminal justice courses that you have to take, that's when I realized it was law that I wanted to get into, and certainly that it was law that I wanted to get into. And so when I decided to go into law, I wanted to be a public defender. I was actually working at the public defender's office for 6 years while I was going to law school. And so I wanted to be a criminal defense lawyer and then fell into personal injury by accident.
and now, many years in counting, you're succeeding in it. You aren't the first, of course, to use billboards to your advantage. Was there someone who inspired you that kind of gave you the idea that like, hey, I can do this too?
Yeah, well, the main thing that had happened was, I always talk about this, I was in Florida, we're going to a cruise, and this firm was the 411 pain, something, and I just couldn't get them out of my mind. Heard them on the radio, saw their buses, saw their billboards. So it's not an original idea of mine, of course. It's been out there for years, but it was just, I was singing the jingle by the time I was going home, and I was like, the light bulb went on. I was like, we don't have anything like that in Sacramento for personal injury. Maybe I should start it. And so that's kind of like where the idea of doing that started.
And that was probably over a decade ago?
Oh my gosh. I was counting that and I keep thinking it was a few years ago, but 2016 is when I started the expansion of kind of marketing and doing the billboards. So I guess it's 2025 right now, so almost a decade, I can say that.
Almost a decade. Where did that slogan come from? Was it easy to land on that?
So it was something that my husband had always joked about. We would say stuff. And so, you know, he said that one day, and this is before that trip, and he was like, something wrong, Colin Fong. We would laugh about it. And then when I came back from that trip from Florida, I was like, okay, so if I'm going to do this, we need something catchy. I need something that's going to be like, that stuck in my head just like that jingle did. And it's just, otherwise it's not going to work, right? And so then he had brought it up. He had said it again. I'm like, oh, that's so corny. That's so good. I was like, we're like, is it going to work? This is it. And we're like, yeah, that's it. So that's kind of how that came about.
Yeah, you're talking about a marketing component, and I don't necessarily think about that when thinking of a lawyer. Why do you think billboards have been such an asset for you?
Well, I think for me, I knew that the reason why I wanted to do it was to present to the public that there was a different type of attorney out there. And just when you see it, and there were, I don't know if there were many around. I know on TV, there were definitely lawyers advertising on TV in the Sacramento area. And there may have been some billboards, I don't really recall. But I just know that I wanted to be different. And I knew that I looked different and what I had to offer was different in the sense of being a female. And a lot of times there's tons of female lawyers out there, but in personal injury too, being a minority. And then just, you know, being a little bit younger earlier into my career at that time, right? And so I think it's a huge asset to let people know you're out there. Hey, like, and of course, most lawyers don't advertise. So, and you don't need to be successful. But I think for me, it was just, I just wanted people to see that there was a different option out there than what was seemingly so around at the time.
Yeah. What has the response been in the last 9 years you've been doing this?
So it's been amazing. It's been great. I mean, it's been, my fear going into it was not being accepted, being rejected, and obviously it failing and not working. And the total opposite occurred. I believe it was the first week we got calls, and I wasn't really expecting it. I was not. And my marketing gal had said, hey, you know, I want you to be prepared because I think it's going to take off. And it did. And within 3 months, like, we had to kind of pull back everything because it was overwhelming. And I was hoping for it, but wasn't. It was an enormous amount of positive reception from our community.
And then you started expanding beyond Sacramento because, I mean, I'm from Los Angeles. I've seen your billboards in LA. Of course, you're in the Bay Area. How many billboards did you have? Do you know? Do you have like a tally on the wall?
No, it's different. Like, so like, I know that when we did LA, we had bought 300 something boards or like just for LA. And so it had to be something significant, right? Because, you know, at that time, LA was just the end of 2023. So we would definitely want it to be known and seen. And we knew there was a lot of competition out there in such a big area. So we knew we had to cover. So at any given time, I don't even know, honestly. And then there's moments where there's more billboards where we you know, we buy in bulk in a sense. And so I'm always a sucker for a good deal. So they'll email me and be like, hey, Anne, I've got these boards up here. And so I'll just buy them. But I don't know. I think maybe right now we have about 100-ish.
And so from the Bay Area to Sacramento, LA, I believe I also read San Diego. Mm-hmm. Are there some areas where you gave it a shot and you just struck out and it didn't work?
Yes, absolutely. There definitely were. I remember after Sacramento, a couple years after we started Sacramento, we tried to go up north towards like Redding and Chico area. Didn't really get a good response there. Same thing, we tried like the Bakersfield area, didn't really get a good response there. And so, yeah, there's definitely been failures along the way, for sure.
Yeah, trial and error. As I mentioned, I grew up in Los Angeles. And during my time growing up, there was famed injury attorney Larry H. Parker.
Yes.
We will fight for you. And I was reading a 1994 article in the LA Times. This was 30 years ago. And he said that he reportedly spent $1 million in advertising a year. And that it clearly was worthwhile for him. So this must cost you a pretty penny, given that that was 30 years ago.
Yes. Definitely big, pretty penny.
Yeah, but it must be worthwhile.
Yes, yes.
Do you think that there are misconceptions about you and others who advertise their legal services in a catchy way?
Absolutely. The huge misconception we get all the time from even our peers, you know, the lawyers and just the community. Number one, you know, just personal injury lawyers in general were viewed as ambulance chasers. But personal injury lawyers that advertise, that's a whole other level. And we're somewhat not respected in the terms from our community and peers. Other lawyers, they think that they don't need to advertise, or that they frown upon us advertising, and that they would never advertise. I hear that all the time.
Hmm. Does that also, you know, hinder how people see you in the courtroom, whether from your peers who are attorneys or even other staff members or even jurors in the courtroom?
That is a really good question, because I never really thought about it having an impact in the courtroom in my profession until recently, and it did. And I was surprised, because it was just totally unexpected. I had a trial, and, you know, everything's going normal. We're picking the jury, and the question became, and the judge had already asked, does anybody know any of the lawyers? And the answer is no, they don't know me. And then one juror had to raise their hands that there's an issue, I can't be a juror. And, you know, luckily that judge said, let's talk about it outside the presence of the other juror. So we talked to that first juror, and she said, I know who she is, pointing to me, and I don't agree with what she does. I don't like her profession. I don't like that she advertises. And I was taken back, but I was so grateful for her honesty, because she knew that she just couldn't be a fair juror in a case with me. And so I was like, okay, you know, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate it. And the second part of that juror selection process came in, and another juror, a gentleman.
What happened again?
It happened again in the same trial, in the same, and I thought one person, I'm in Sacramento. I'm really, you know, well, it's a Sacramento trial. So then I thought, oh my gosh, this another person feels the same thing. And he had the similar, it felt like disgust. And he made it clear. He's respectful. He said, he was a truck driver, and he said, I know who you are, and I'm a driver, and people have been sued, and I see your advertisements, and I just cannot, I'm already against you. And I again thanked him for his honesty. Because that's what we need to have a fair juror system, right? It's what it's about. It's finding the right cases, the right jurors so then we realized, okay, well, let's just ask the question to the rest of the jurors out there. Does anybody know who I am? Does anybody have any feelings against me? Any feelings at all, good or bad? And so that's just something recently that it didn't sit well with me in terms of, it definitely was a moment where I was...
Well, being human.
Yeah, and definitely made me start thinking, like, wow, this has affected how people see me and the profession itself.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, I'm talking with injury attorney behind the popular billboard, Anne Fong. When doing a little bit of research on you, in the past year, you have been profiled in, like, papers statewide. I mean, I think about the LA Times, the SF Chronicle, the SAC B, SF Gate, I think KQED also did a piece on you. Is this a new era of notoriety for yourself?
Yes, it is. It definitely is. And I am so humbled by it. I say it all the time, and I don't think I realize, just like in that situation with the jury, like how many people knew me or knew who I was. I'm still just very, I try as much as be humbled by it, but I'm very gracious and accepting of it, and it's definitely, it's a weird feeling, you know?
In the SACB article that I read, you threw a holiday party at Red Hawk Casino in El Dorado County, and it was like this who's who of Sacramento showed up to your holiday party.
Yeah.
So I was thinking Mayor Kevin McCarty, District Attorney Tin Ho, Assembly Member Stephanie Nguyen. How did you gain this level of reach to local public officials?
You know, it was those people are they happen to be, you know, government officials, but they're people I consider just friends as well, and people that I've connected with over the last few years. The party was something where, and I didn't want that to be like the center of it at all. It was 900 people. And of the 900, it was family, friends, clients, prior clients, because everybody that's part of my eyelash girl, my nail, like it was everybody that, in a way, I don't want to say just people that I'm thankful for in my life, right? And just sharing the love and joy of Fong Law. And so they were definitely there. And I don't want to minimize. I mean, it's a huge deal, right, for them to show up to your event. But they're, in my eyes, they're people that I support. They're my friends. And but there was, I mean, Santa was there. And it was an amazing event for just everybody.
And you have, do you have a personal connection with District Attorney Ho?
I consider him a friend. So, yeah, I guess you would say that. Yeah.
Yeah. We've had the district attorney, of course, on Insight. And he's also talked about his childhood and his story of immigration and being a refugee to Northern California, which also landed him here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. In the last few minutes that we have, I do want to dive into the little bit of controversy over that billboard design contest, which just wrapped up yesterday in terms of submissions.
Yeah.
Our reporter here, Gerardo Zavala, he recently interviewed you about that backlash that you received. So initially, you were offering prizes for a billboard design contest on social media, ranging from $150 to $500. Then you shifted to a single grand prize of $5,000 after you saw comments on social media criticizing it for devaluing artists. What did you learn from that experience?
Oh my gosh, I learned that I am not perfect and that I'm always open and willing to learn and be, in a sense, checked. And I was. And I appreciate it, honestly. When I first thought about it, I was, oh, this is going to be fun. And that's all it was how cool would this be? But I didn't think, you know, the effect that it would have. And in no way, shape, or form had I, if I had thought it through, that I would ever do that. And I'm glad that we upped the prize, because it's, and I believe that sounds like the right amount, right? And because I don't know the cost for a graphic designer. I don't pay for one, so I don't know. But it sounded like in those comments, they said 5,000 seemed fair. So I was like, okay, that's cool. 5,000 seems fair. Let's do it.
How many submissions did you get? Because the deadline was yesterday.
Do you want to hear?
Yeah.
I'm so excited. 400. Over 400.
Oh my gosh. Wow. That's
a lot.
So that
must mean it. Yeah. I didn't. I mean, I'm telling you, when I first started, it was like, let's just do this. It's going to be fun. Maybe like 20, 30 people. I didn't think it would. I think 400 is a lot. It's a lot for me to have to consider now to pick one person. But I'm so excited because the ones I've seen come through, they've brought smiles to my face. Pure joy, just like thinking people spent time and hopefully had fun doing it. That was the entire reason for doing, was hopefully people were having fun and come up with some cool ideas.
When will the winner be announced?
Next week.
Next week.
Yes.
Okay, so we have to stay tuned on your social media.
Yes.
Someone's going to get that the well-deserved grand prize of
$5,000. Yes.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
And that is personal injury attorney Anne Fong. You know her from the very catchy billboards across California, talking to us about her connections and roots in Sacramento and the experiences that led to her career. Still ahead, if you're in the mood for some Irish music this weekend, then you can get ready for Irish Palooza. It's happening in Midtown Sacramento at Harlow's. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.